Hello everyone, welcome back to the Craft of the Draft channel, and in this video we're going to be previewing the 2024 AFL Draft, an exciting time for all those involved in the draft community. And if you're new to our channel, if you've been following us for the last, you know, 4 weeks in the lead up to the draft, we'll give you a bit of context. We've been doing this channel for the last 2 years. We've followed last year's draft and this year's draft. So we've been here from January all the way now to November. So we've been all around it. We've seen every week of Talent League footy, every game of national championships, and got a good account of these boys. But this video is going to be a little bit more fun, and other videos on our channel will be a lot more analytical on different types of players and different positions, the top types of players that you should look out for. This video, a bit more of a prediction-based video, who we think our top 10 are, the top three in each positional area, a few smokies in the first round, a few smokies later on in the draft, and the clubs who need a pretty decent draft to help them for whether that's, you know, 2025 or 26, 27, just the near future in general. But let's kick it off. Top 10.
Yep.
Yours in order. Mine are relatively in order, but yep. I just have a general top 10. I'll let you kick it off. Who are your top 10?
Yeah, so in order. So I've gone. So my top 10 is based on the prediction at the time of recording. North Melbourne hold pick 2, but I've gone with the prediction that they will split that pick. I think that's the wide held expectation in the industry. So that'll be Sam Lawler and Jagger Smith at 1 and 2 with Richmond. I think both of those two. Then I think a bid comes for Levi Ashcroft at number 3. Finn O'Sullivan goes to the Blues at number 4. Sid Draper stays local at Adelaide at pick 5. Josh Smiley to the D's at pick 6. Then North Melbourne get Alex Tarou, that is, at pick 7, the defender they so badly need. Murphy Reid at pick 8. Harry Armstrong at pick 9. We know that St Kilda love the Sandy Dragons. They love the local boys. And then Harvey Langford to round out that top 10. That's how I see it playing out on draft night, Nathan.
Yeah, I haven't gone exact picks. The only assumptions I've made are that Ashcroft and Lombard get bid on.
Inside
the top 10. Whether I do believe North will split that pick, but I haven't actually, given them an exact player here. But I've got Sam Lawler, Finn O'Sullivan, Jagger Smith. I think that'll be your top 3.
Yep.
Ignoring Levi Ashcroft if he comes in at that top 3. Levi Ashcroft comes in. I think Josh Smiley, the more we've talked about it on this channel and videos, I'm starting to like him a little bit more again.
With how much I like him.
It's interesting because you go back the whole year and you keep questioning his performances. It's where the clubs take that into account as much as the media do, and those outside the four walls do. But I do think he could go as high as, you know, pick 5 or pick 6.
Yep.
Sid Draper, I do think, falls to Adelaide eventually.
Yep.
Somehow. Leo Lombard comes in. Murphy Reid, Harvey Langford and Alex Tarou at the back end. But I think Alex Tarou is one that, depending on what happens with pick swaps, could come in at any different point. But I do think he would be one of the last ones to round out the top 10. If you had to give me two other players that could potential, I'll give mine, Trevallier and Lindsay are the two I think could swap in. I guess I've left Armstrong out, but I'll give those two though.
Yeah. And I think, and I've sort of said on the channel a few times that I still do believe that Jobe Shanahan's the best key forward. It's more so from a list needs point of view and from what the industry is saying is that Harry Armstrong's going to go to St Kilda. If I was to give another two, it would be Leo Lombard. I think he is that if he's not in the top 10, then he's certainly not far out of it. And then I would also say that, Xavier Lindsay's one that could end up at St Kilda. They've got an interesting hand, St Kilda. So they've got picks 7 and 8, which will become picks 8 and 9, which puts them in the position of having, I guess, one or two midfielders left from that absolute top echelon. And they won't really get much of a choice out of who's left, obviously, because you don't know who's going to be left on the board. So they may prefer a Xavier Lindsay if they think he fulfills their list need better than a Harvey Langford, who might have slipped through. They're wanting someone with a little bit more speed or something that they think Xavier Lindsay possesses a bit more than Harvey Langford.
Probably two more talking points. And one is with St Kilda, talked a bit about them and GWS pick swapping. Do you reckon that's something that could genuinely happen on the night, given that fact that St Kilda, if they're kind of left with players they're not that desired on, do you think they'll trade down a bit and get a few other positional needs?
Yeah, I think that's certainly an option. I think you definitely want to keep one of them because I think that allows you to get one that's in that real clear top 10 and then a couple in the teens, because the teens are so much stronger this year than what they are in traditional years. And then they've obviously got Adrian Cole, Lenny Hoffman coming their way if they want them. I think it sounds like they're definitely going to take Adrian Cole, and Lenny Hoffman a bit of a wait and see. But yeah, I think it's certainly something that they could do that would be really beneficial. I think they're a club that's going to really benefit from this draft.
The last one is on Isaac Kakko, and it's a simple, does any club piss Essendon off and take him, you know, above pick 12, 11, that height? So do you think he kind of, that bid comes in, you know, around 15, 16?
I think it'll come, I think it's right on the precipice. Yeah, I think it's, 12 to 15 is probably where I'd see it as being.
It's interesting. Well, the clubs don't get anything out of bidding for these players. They're not going to get anything in return. It's whether they want Essendon to pay up quite a lot. Is Kakko really worth that to pay up earlier, in your opinion?
I think, and I've said before, I think if I was to do a power rankings in the open draft, if he wasn't tied to Essendon, I'd still have Joe Berry and Taj Houghton ahead of him.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's probably not quite worth that, in my opinion.
Yep.
But I think there's clubs that do see him as the best small forward in the draft, which is why I think he'll go that 12 to 15 range.
I have Taj Houghton above him. I don't see Taj Houghton as that same role, though, because I feel like Taj Houghton has that capacity to move into the midfield a little more. I think you've got
seen it, haven't we? Yeah.
A little more versatility with Taj Houghton. Let's move into a few of our first round, Smokey. So we don't know how many picks this first round will be. We're going to assume... what is your
prediction? I think it'll be around that sort of 24, 25 mark.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could see it go as far as 25, 26, 27. Yep. I think Sam Marshall's one that would dictate that if that bid comes in, where that ends up being. But who are a few of your first round Smokies? We're going to talk about a few of these players now. I feel like we'll have a few of the same players. Yeah. We'll go one by one. I'll let you start. Who's one of your first round Smokies?
Yeah. So one that I'm going to put on is, it's a real Smoky, but someone like a Xavier Ivicic is someone that I could see going right at the end of the first round. And the reason I say that is because you've got that top echelon of midfielders. And then if you look at the rest of the first round, there's no traditional midfielder. And Xavier Ivicic isn't a traditional midfielder, probably in his first couple of years at AFL level. He started half forward, then graduate into the midfield. But everyone from about 10 to 25, 26, if you were to do a power rankings, looks to be a clear small forward or a clear power forward or a defender. They're not someone that's ever going to move into the midfield. So then I look at that next tier down. Someone like a Xavier Ivicic might go a little bit higher as a result of a club not being able to get into the night until right at the end of that first night wanting to take a midfielder.
Where do you have him in your initial rankings?
I think he's around 40 for me.
Yeah, I had him at 46. That's a big shout. I didn't go as low as that, I don't think. My first one's James Barrett.
Yep.
To fall into that first round discussion. We also talked about in other videos with Dylan Alexander that are on our channel, you know, what happens at the end of night one. I think that could be important to dictate the second round in terms of what a club needs if there's still certain players on the board. I think James Barrett is one that certainly could be in discussion.
Yep.
Showing versatility throughout the year as a key back and then a key forward as well, just couldn't really hit the scoreboard accurately, which is probably what, you know, justified the move down back. But he did that really well. So I think he's one that definitely could be in discussion, especially someone like a Carlton who hold pick, I think it's 32, you know, if it ends at pick 27 at the night, if they want to play like that, not necessarily, but do they jump up a little bit and how do they go about that? But that's one of my players.
Yeah, if Carlton were to jump up, obviously they've got to keep in mind the point situation with the Camporeale twins coming a little bit later. But yeah, James Barrett's one. We've done videos on a few Bendigo and Ballarat prospects across the last week or so on our channel. James Barrett being one of them, Archer Daywicks, Toby Trevally, Job Shanahan, Floyd Burmeister and Ollie Hannaford. So go check them out on our channel if you like. Yeah, he's one that will fit into an AFL list really well, and I don't think there's been enough emphasis placed on how much footy he missed last year as a bottom major. I think another one I've got, and I've talked before about the fact that I think he's maybe doesn't have the skill set that lends itself to the position that he plays, but I think a Jasper Elgar is one that there's some clubs that really like. So he's obviously got that ability to mark inside 50 and is a unique type of player. So that's one that could tempt clubs at the end of the first round. And Ollie Hannaford as well. I think it's well publicised now that there's some clubs in that first round mix that are pretty keen on him, so he's one that could jump up as well.
You've stolen two of mine there, but I knew we'd have similar. Well, I don't know if this is why you had the thought of Jasper Elgar. This was mine, and I think back to pick 12 last year was Phoenix Gothard. That was so unpredictable, and Jasper Olga's that similar type of player that you wonder, We're just going to be looking at GWS this year to say who are they going to randomly pick a lot higher than what we expect them to. But he's probably that type of player that could sneak up on you without you noticing. The other player I had was, which this could be not really a first round smoky, but based off where I've ranked him, is Alex Dodson, because I have him at rank 29.
Yep.
Whether a club sees a good need for a ruck a bit higher up, I think he's one that could just secretly push up. Again, comes back to the conversation that come the end of night one, he's probably a player that people will look at if he's still on the draft board. Yep. So that's all my players. Have you got any others from that category?
I'm just going to say Noah Meraz as well. I think people don't necessarily, have much understanding of what he does as a footballer because he hasn't played a lot of footy this year, but a key defender, and there were some clubs coming into this year that thought he could become the best key defender in the draft. Now, obviously, that's Alex Tarrou and Luke Traynor, but I think he could prove a real bargain towards the end of night one. There's some clubs that are really high on him, particularly because he's put on a lot of strength during his time away from the game this year. But yeah, he's one to watch out for as well. Also, and I've mentioned it in other videos, but I just want to put on the radar a little opinion I've got, and I don't think it's one that's necessarily going to materialize, but Richmond are going to control that first round. They've got the first pick of the second round as well. So what I'd be doing if I was Richmond is I'd be looking to trade away that first pick of the second night. Someone's going to have a player that they really want to get. They're going to pay overs for that pick. That's going to allow Richmond to bolster their 2025 hand, maybe get a later pick in the 2024 draft where they can pick up a player that suits them quite well. And it sets them up for the 2025 draft as well.
I'm going to throw a question that we didn't have in our run sheet at you and just a discussion point. Who are players you think that dictate this first round of the draft? And I'll move you outside of the top 10. So between that 10 and 30, certain players who you think will make quite a big difference, because this is when we start getting to our key position players. And I'll throw a name out there, Luke Traynor.
Yeah.
He's a very interesting one, I think, in that discussion of we've heard about the concussion side of things, which has been overplayed quite a bit. Does a club take him a bit higher? Because I think he'll be one that clubs will expect to slide because of that factor. But it's a player who all of 3 months ago we said was top five.
Yeah.
So do you agree, disagree? I think he's one that would shape quite a lot of clubs' draft hand and the direction they go if he goes a bit higher or lower than where he was expected to.
I think that's true, that he could shape the first night, because if he does go quite a bit higher, then that pushes some other key defenders higher. So I think at the moment you're looking at Tarrou and Traynor as the two clear standouts. Matt Whitlock behind them, if you see him as a defender, some will say he might project to become a key forward. But then there's probably a little bit of a gap. Now, if he goes higher than people expect Luke Traynor, then that's going to it's going to certainly give clubs something to think about if they've got a pick between 15 and 30 to take someone who is seen as that next tier below. So Noel Meraz or Harry O'Farrell might end up a little bit higher than we expect. So, yeah, that's a good shout. I think another one's Cooper Hines. He's got a unique skill set. So where does he end up? He's one that can go through the midfield. He's so powerful up forward. And I think looking at the types of players that are similar to Cooper Hines, again, if he ends up going higher than clubs expect and they really want to fill that positional need, then that might cause them to look at someone that is seen in a power rankings as being quite a bit lower.
I keep thinking of random questions to ask you. Give me two golden gems in the first round. So players who, I guess, will fall lower than probably what they could be worth at the next level. So I'll start so you got time to think.
Yep.
Christian Moraes, I think, falls under 20, but has potential to be above a top 20 player in a couple of years. Second one would be a Jonty fall. I think he does fall out of the top 20, but over time, I think he develops quite well. Who are your two?
The two that I'd look at would be Tom Gross. Yep. I think he's one that started the year. Does he come in the first round or what sort of happens with him? And he's sort of plateaued a little bit in conversations, but he's so competitive and he's got the sort of traits you want in terms of his courage, and he's got the ability to turn a game on its head in 10 minutes. I really like what he can do. And then I've been so high on this, and I've probably said it too much in the last couple of months, but Jobe Shanahan, if he ends up being taken behind Harry Armstrong and potentially Jack Whitlock as well, I think that'll be a real steal for whoever's able to get him at around that 20 mark.
A few later smokies, let's talk about. So these are we always make this comparison last year that there were two players Port took, Tom Anastasopoulos and Lachie Charlson, who we didn't expect to go, in complete honesty. We thought they were more of unlikely than likely. They had glimpses of really good footy, but we just didn't think they put together a consistent enough form of footy to suggest they were going to get picked up. But they did. So there's always players you don't expect.
Hugo Garcia, another one.
Players, yeah. And Hugo's walked into St Kilda and made such a good impact. So there's players who have great aspects. They might not have put together the complete package of footy, but they still, clubs, you know, see something desirable in them. Who are a few that you have? I'll kick it off with Ricky Mentha, who I haven't been completely complimentary of this year based off performance. And I think there was a lot of potential we saw at the back end of last year. Never really got into a consistent stream of footy. He played for the Australian Academy. So you take that into account. He's played for the highest level he could in under 18 footy. Just never got into a groove. Wasn't able to. I don't think he was able to show his forward craft as well. That really sneaky, crumbing small forward move to the half back line, which showed some pretty good productivity. Got his hands on the footy a bit more. But I think his skill set of being that real dangerous sneak small forward will appeal to some clubs. Yep. He's from the NT, Gippsland boy. So I guess there's still a lot of development in him compared to a player who's obviously come from a metro team and has had a lot more development. So I think he's one that could fall into that category if a club, you know, looks at him later in the draft.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'll stick on the small forwards theme. And we haven't talked too much about him this year, but it sounds like North Melbourne might take him with their pick 62 or get him onto the rookie list, the father-son River Stevens, who's got a little bit of that ground-level game inside 50 as well. Again, we probably didn't see it in a sustained enough period this year to suggest he would go much higher than being a really late or rookie pick, but he certainly fills a list need that North Melbourne have in terms of that ground level flair inside 50. So he's someone to keep an eye on for North fans.
It's actually a hard discussion because I think there's a few that we might think will go that are right at the end, which I don't know if you consider them smokies. I mean, would you have Luca Grego as a smoky? Because I think if he went pick 50 to 60, I wouldn't say it's a smoky. I think
I think we expect him to go, yeah.
My next one, which we had discussion about this before, is Bailey McKenzie.
Yeah.
And whether he does end up onto an AFL list, because he's been productive and we've seen big goals of big games with 7-6 goals, and especially in that Sandy squad where you've got Harry Armstrong alongside you, Archie Ludwig at times as well. But he's proven he's a goal threat inside 50. We've questioned just the way his goals come at time, whether he'll show enough versatility inside 50 at the next level. But I do think productivity-wise, when you get to that lower end of the draft, he's a player that would probably just jump a few based off that. I don't know what your thoughts are on him and where he sits.
Yeah, I'm probably a little bit still, I still question how he's going to get his goals at the next level, because he's not going to be able to get those marks on leads. He's going to be playing on players that are taller than him, and I'm not sure if he's going to be able to expose them at ground level enough as well. So I'm probably still a little bit 50-50 on him, but I'll stick on the forwards theme. I think Reece Unwin and Sam Toner are a couple. I've talked about Sam Toner a little bit in the last month or so. Looks like he's going to go from the Dandenong Stingrays, medium forward, good contested mark, still really raw, and he's hardly played any talent league or talent pathways footy at all, but he's 19. So he's one that clubs could take a punch on. And then Reece Unwin is a small forward. He's really clean. He can go in and be quite damaging in the midfield. His speed's his real weapon, and he's good below his knees as well, from the GWV Rebels. So he's one that I feel like with that athletic profile, teams might really relish that at the back end of the draft.
Yeah, see, Reece Unwin is one I wouldn't consider a smoky. Like, I have him end of 50s. So he's like an interesting one. I'd wonder if clubs do see him as that 50-50. It's always hard that, but after 50, you can't say anyone's a lock.
Yep.
But I would say he's at least 70% to go at that later stage of the draft. A few that I'll just kind of put into the mix. Flynn Penry, he's hadn't had the season that probably suggested he's a lock, but he's a developing ruck. So does a team take him on and develop him for the next few years and in the VFL and build him up? Jacob Newton from SA is another one, I think, as well, that will enamour a few SA clubs to take a look at, and he's had a pretty consistent year and had a few good glimpses at national championships level. So that was all mine. Is that all yours?
Just a couple more from my end. Ollie Warburton. So I talked about the top end of midfielders, and then there's a little bit of a gap, and then there's another tier. I do feel like it's a midfield heavy draft, and we've talked about that, but in terms of a clear ball winning bull, there's probably not a whole lot of them after what you would consider the locks. So yep. I think he's one that clubs might look at and say, yeah, he's clean, he's good in the contest, he can play off halfback and set the game up. He's a bit better on the outside than I think people give him credit for, and he's shown he can do it against men playing a couple of games for Collingwood's VFL. So I think he's one that could, but he's certainly a 50-50 from the Murray Bush Rangers and Caulfield Grammar. And Cooper Keogh, sticking on the rucks theme from Coburg, a big aggressive sort of ruck. If clubs want a ready-made big man who, yeah, has got that senior experience, I think he's one that is definitely garnering some interest. It's just whether someone pulls the trigger.
I might just quickly list a few father-sons that are kind of, they're not, I mean, smokies isn't the word for them. It's just whether a club yep. wants to bid on them. But Rome Burgoyne, Port Adelaide, and Louis Montgomery, whether the Power take either of those two. Elwood Peckett from the Saints is probably 50. I mean, his footy wouldn't suggest he's draftable right now. It's questionable whether the Saints take him. Josiah Delana, the Giants, he's not father-son, Giants Academy, though, yep. but probably down the later end, whether they pick him up, because usually the academy take at least one player, but we're going to assume that's going to be Logan Smith,
yep, the ruck. Ruck. Yep.
Luke Quayner as the Collingwood NGA, whether yep. he links up with his brother. As we said, it's an awkward thing to be at a club where your brother could or might not come on. But Noah Uzay, father-son for Melbourne, we think his back end's probably warranted the D's yeah. taking him up as a real tagging role. And then, like you said before, River Stevens for North Melbourne, whether the Kangaroos take him up. So let's move to finish it up. Clubs who need to have a good draft, and whilst it might not necessarily be, it might not be because they have a heap of picks, but
yep.
the picks they have need yep. to be capitalised on. I think the obvious one here is Richmond.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're going to have the luxury of that many picks in such a good draft. But which ones do you think they need to nail necessarily? Because I would say it's those 6, 10, I think 14 as well. That
11.
Those 11, that 6, 10, 11 are the most crucial ones, because that's your top end are gone, but you've got those key position.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's where I think they need to capitalize on. I think pick one will naturally just be good,
yeah.
whoever they take.
I think I said off the top that I assume that Richmond will trade up. That's yeah. my guess. So that 6 and 11 will be off the table. That'll be with North Melbourne. So I think the way I'd look at it is the important thing is that they get the players that they need, and however they do that is going to be something we'll be able to judge at the end of the draft. So I don't think you can sort of do it pick by pick. If they don't pick a defender as early as we think, but then they get a defender that falls through, then you'll have to give them some credit. If they want a defender and if they want a forward, a similar sort of thing has to be said as well. But they're clearly going to be the club that's going to shape the first round. And you talked about players who are going to shape the first round a little bit before, but it's going to be really interesting to watch, because they're going to have some plans around what they're going to do, and clubs are going to have to understand that they're going to have to almost not accommodate Richmond, that's the wrong word, but what they do is going to be dictated by what Richmond does in a lot of ways. I think another one is Freo. They yep. offloaded a lot of picks to get Shea Bolton. They probably had the second best draft hand of any club coming into the trade period. They then traded a few of those away, so that caused some question marks over whether they'd done the right thing. I think they're in premiership contention in the next couple of years, and I really like the direction they're taking, but I think if they can get a couple of really good pickups in the draft, then that's going to, I guess, answer the critics in terms of the moves they made to move out of the first round to get Shea Bolton.
Yeah, I also had Freo in that list. They've got good picks as well, 14, 30,
yeah.
whether they do anything with that 67 or not, wait and see. But two picks where you'll still have some good top-end talent at that 14, but yeah. even still at 30, you've got those players that had the potential probably in another draft to be in that first round.
Yeah.
So they just need to get it right. I mean, whether Bo Allen is still on the table, whether the Eagles take him up a few picks yep. earlier, I feel like the Dockers will want him. We both suggested Cooper Hines as a Freo
yep.
type target. Does he fall around that area? But like I said, I think their list is ready for one of those. There's always a player in the draft who comes in and makes an impact in their yep. first year. I feel like they're the club that could just completely capitalise
yep.
off that. And even last year, you know, they've got Cooper Simpson, was it Murphy. What's his first name? Ollie Murphy.
Yeah.
That come in, that's still waiting. So they've got some good talent waiting there.
Yep.
My next club, their counterparts of West Coast.
Yep.
I think they're still in the position where they're quite behind the rest of the league. They just need to capitalize on these top picks and get... I think they need to draft the player who is most ready-made when it gets to their pick,
okay.
who can come in and play their role. I don't know how long you keep looking at West Coast and saying, or how long you're going to keep developing for,
yep.
and letting these players kind of sit in the waffle and then come in and then they struggle because the team's still doing poorly. I think you take a player who's ready-made and can make an impact quite quickly and complement a Harley Reid you've just brought in and build something quite big. Your next club?
I'd look the other way for a really? West Coast perspective. I'd say that I would want them to draft a player that's going to be peaking at the time they're going to be in premiership contention. And if that means that having to serve a bit of an apprenticeship like Finn McRae's done for a couple of years at Collingwood in the VFL, whether he breaks through or not is a different question. But then that's a price you have to pay in the short term. They are in an interesting position, though. And another couple of clubs are St Kilda and Melbourne. They've clearly both got two top 10 picks. So I think Melbourne need a key forward. There's questions over whether they perhaps get a key defender as well. And St Kilda, I think, need someone to help out Max King up forward. But St Kilda overall are going to have a really strong draft because they're going to get one of those next generation academy kids. They're going to get a defender, hopefully they get a forward, and they can add some speed to the midfield. But if they could get a couple of those things or answer all of those question marks around their list, then I think they're quite well set up to take that next step from being that middle tier team, which they've been for too long, haven't they?
Well, with Tim Membry exiting, it's literally just St Kilda saying, yep, Harry Armstrong, welcome to St Kilda, to be quite honest. They'll get that help they need. I think St Kilda's issue is more tactically. I don't think Max King needs as much help as it seems. I think it's just vision to Max King half the time, and there are other options. You've got a dangerous forward line. You've got Cooper Sharman, who's a great marking forward. Jack Higgins is always there roaming around. Like, they've got the decent forwards. I think it's more a tactical thing, to be quite honest. But, yeah, no, I still think that you're right. They need to nail that draft. Those were the only ones I had. I had four that I really wanted to bring up, unless you have other ones.
No, that was about all in terms of clubs. And what we're going to do in some separate videos, we're going to go through position by position the players to look out for. So if you think your club needs a midfielder or a rebounding defender or a small forward or a medium forward, watch those individual videos. We'll give a bit of a glimpse into what we're going to talk about through those videos. So I suppose if we start with the top three defenders, to me, I'd look at it and I'd say Alex Tarrou, Luke Traynor, and then Harry Oliver would be probably my next one as that small rebounding defender who sets the game up really well. Now, when we do these videos, what we've done is we've separated defenders into tall defenders and rebounding defenders, obviously different types of players, but I think if you were to combine them, that would be my top three from defender point of view.
Are we talking general, all defenders in general? Wow. I think Tarrou isn't the best. I just think he's had the best year.
So you still think Luke Traynor's ahead of him?
Yeah, look, if it wasn't for the concussion side of things, I don't think anyone would have topped him, realistically. Like we said,
I still think we had him at three.
Like, a lot of people, I don't know if we had him at three necessarily, but he was ranked top five by a lot of people. I don't think Tarrou has ever got into that top five.
Only by the fact that North Melbourne have picked two.
Yeah, but like that, and that's more of a draft ranking thing. I'd have Tarrou. Yeah, I mean, I'd almost have Trevallier at three. That's how much I loved his game all year.
I guess, yeah, that's a fair call as well. He's that halfback or winger, what does he sort of become? I'll probably see him going into the midfield later on in his career as well. But yeah, that's a fair call. I guess the reason, just to justify why I've got Tarrou ahead of Traynor, I think, Traynor's point of difference on Tarrou is his kicking efficiency coming out of the back half. Yeah. He can set the game up like not many taller defenders sort of can at 195 plus. Whereas Alex Tarrou, I look at and I say his athleticism is so raw and he's so untapped in that sort of area. Yeah. And I think that's becoming so important that, I think that he could crash packs, and what he could become is probably a little bit more than what Luke Traynor has in terms of scopes. That's why I've got Alex Tarrou above him. In terms of rucks, Alex Dodson, Floyd Burmeister and Logan Smith, I did did a video with Floyd Burmeister and, yeah, had a really close examination of some of his highlights to intertwine throughout the video. Some of the things he's able to do really wow you. There's probably some fundamentals for a big man that he needs to nail down in terms of his marking. Yeah. But his mobility is, I would say, unmatched, except there's Alex Dodson in this draft as well. But that's why I've got Floyd Burmeister ahead of Logan Smith, who's really highly regarded as well.
I have the same order. And the good thing is about those top two is they played each other in the champ. So if you want to watch the comparison, SAV Vic Country was a good watch to see. Alex Dodson, I've got to admit, did comfortably win that battle.
It was Burmeister's first time in the
Yes, it was. And that's the key point. But it was a good learning experience. You've got to love playing against the players that you're battling against. What's the next position?
We'll go midfielders. I think everyone has that clear top tier or whatever, but I've gone Sam Lawler, Levi Ashcroft and Josh Smiley. I know that Josh Smiley will probably go a bit low, Jagger Smith and Finno Sullivan, but he has to be in my top three. I just like the big-bodied midfielders, and I've still liked his season, so I'm keeping him in my top three.
I've always had Ashcroft at one, and I'll stick with that. Obviously, unlikely he'll go at one. I'm going to say at their peak, Finno Sullivan at two.
Yep.
And then, I think Smiley's peak is still better than Jagger's.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking peak. So those would be my top three.
And then forwards. So I've talked about Job Shanahan all year. So I'm keeping him at one, even though I do believe that Harry Armstrong will go at one. Harry Armstrong next, and Joe Berry as well.
Shanahan, Armstrong. If I was to throw in a small... I think for excitement factor, you got to get around Kaka. I do wish he was in an open draft, just for the sake he'd be. He'll be exciting in Essendon, and I think you can tell already he's really keen to get on that list as well and prove what he's worth.
No, very good. Awesome chat. And the drafts will be held across November 20 to 22. So the national draft, November 20 and 21, the first round of November 20, and then the preseason and rookie drafts on November 22. So a really exciting time of year, and keen to see how many of these boys end up on AFL lists.
For sure. Well, thank you all for watching. As we said, we have released all 18 AFL clubs' draft hand analysis with Dylan Alexander. So they are across 9 are on our channel. 9 are on Dylan's channel, and then we have all our positional analysis videos. Whether they'll be out before this video and after, they will be there by the time the draft starts. We've also talked to the Sandy coach, Rob Harding, Oakley's coach, Ash Close, on their prospects. Sandy and Oakley have, 20 each every year. So there's individual on them if you want to hear a bit more how the coach views them and how their season has been. So thank you all for watching. Thank you if you've joined us from the start of the year to watch our draft content throughout the year, and we'll see you in another video.